Welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. I'm Allison Stewart.
I'm still Torre.
And we have been joined, as we are regularly, by our staff. It's a time we take a spin around the BPP Wheel of Fun, when the staff picks from the most emailed, blogged, sometimes scoffed at, and secretly viewed stories on the web. We call it The Most. Producer Dan Pashman.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Where's your most from?
This is most emailed from Yahoo News, and it's top 10 best and worst Hollywood autograph signers. It's Autograph Magazine's list.
Now, when you say best and worst, do you mean the quality of the signature?
No, no. It's basically like who's friendliest, who's most open to giving autographs, versus who are the frostiest when approached for
nasty,
for autographs.
Mean,
and number
people.
One on the list for the third year in a row, the reigning champion of autograph niceness is
Whoa.
Johnny Depp.
Huh.
Very, he may seem kind of soft-spoken and introverted on screen, but he's very friendly, laid back, happy to chat people up.
So that means when we, if we run into Johnny in Paris with his wife and his daughter, and run up on him at lunch at a Red Lobster in Paris, hey Johnny, can I get an autograph? And he'll stop and sign you up.
That's what it sounds like. At least he's most likely to. You know, you never know. Maybe you catch him at the exact wrong moment.
Yeah.
Who can tell? But worst on the list, the top on the list of worst autograph signers, Will Ferrell.
That's surprising.
Wow.
Right. It's kind of that pairing is interesting because you think of Johnny Depp as being this sort of like quiet, shy kind of guy.
Mysterious.
He's totally friendly. Right. Whereas everyone thinks Will Ferrell is the class clown, life of the party kind of guy. And he's actually can be quite ornery.
There's a darkness to his comedy, I think.
That's true.
You have a story. Can you tell it and go for it?
All right, real quick. My friend Jeff, when he was a kid, he went to spring training in baseball, and he wanted to get the autograph of his favorite baseball player, Kirk Gibson. And he went up to him in the parking lot with his ball and said, Mr. Gibson, will you sign my ball? And Kirk Gibson sort of went to shoo him away.
How old is your friend at this point?
At this point, in grade school. All right. And Kirk Gibson shoos him away and inadvertently knocks Jeff down.
Ooh.
But as Kirk Gibson is walking away, he looks back over his shoulder and sees Jeff lying on the ground and chuckles.
That's horrible.
That's horrible.
Fast forward to a year later, Jeff's dad gets a call from the school principal and says, Mr. Bench, we caught your son lighting fires on the playground during recess.
Where's this going?
and Jeff's father goes, were those Kirk Gibson baseball cards by any chance?
Isn't he in the Hall of Fame?
I don't think Kirk Gibson's Hall of Fame.
Right, well, that's because there's an integrity clause
that's
to
right.
get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
That kid showed him.
That's right.
Editor Tricia McKinney, where's your most from?
I have the most viewed photos on Yahoo News, and when I checked the first time at about, I'd say, 4:45 this morning, there are 10 most viewed photos, and all 10 of them were pictures of Pamela Anderson.
Nice.
I just checked 1 second ago. One of those 10 pictures has been replaced with pictures of the American flag, but there are 9 pictures of Pamela
that's
Anderson.
That's just odd.
I know, that's weird. Anyway, so why are people looking at pictures of Pamela Anderson aside from the obvious reasons? I guess it's because she filed for divorce from her husband of 2 months, Rick Salomon, who may also be equally as well known for taking part in an infamous sex tape with an infamous celebutante, and I'll say no more. But apparently since filing those papers on Friday, Pamela Anderson may have changed her mind. She has a posting on her blog saying that they're working on it.
So.
And that could mean anything.
That could mean anything, honestly.
Working on it.
When you finish with that, can you forward me 7 or 8 of those photos? MJ,
yeah.
You've got a little HR. News on boob jobs, I hear?
Jiffy boob job, yes. This is one of the most emailed from Newsweek. And let me say that there were 2 breast implant stories on the most emailed at Newsweek
at
list.
At Newsweek?
Yeah.
Why not?
Is it a slow news week at Newsweek?
Boom, boom.
Let me remind everybody you're listening to National Public Radio.
My dad is very proud of me. It's called The Truth About the Lunch Hour Boob Job. And basically, a couple of weeks ago, there was this story that you could go on your lunch hour and get a breast job that sucked fat from your stomach and put it in your breast. And like, who wouldn't want that, right?
Exactly.
And it's not true. There's a company called Saitori Therapeutics that's working on a fat graft that would help create a fat from your stomach to your breast boob job.
All right, we're going to hope this is for people who've had... I'm going to bring this up.
I was just going to say, this
breast
is
cancer
a, this
survivors.
Is, this is a feel-good story because these are breast implants for breast cancer survivors who can't tolerate artificial implants.
But you know...
That's not just, what we're going to do.
We're just right around the corner from fast food...
Breast jobs.
There are so many fast food drive-through breast implant illusions in this story.
All right, we'll leave that to people to read for themselves. Hey, director Jacob making his most debut.
Hi, everybody.
Ooh, it's a big
He's
moment.
Usually too busy to do this, so we're going to try to squeeze this in.
I've got one of the most read stories on my hometown paper, the Bellingham Herald. The headline is "Bicycle Park Gets an Extreme Makeover." Basically, what that means is they're piling new dirt on top of the old dirt. In the Northwest, we're fans of outdoor sports and hyperbolic headline writing.
Brilliant.
Jacob, well done.
All right. Hi, it's Matt. I have the most emailed at npr.org. It's a story they aired on Morning Edition yesterday by NPR's Michelle Kellerman about this site called freerice.com. It basically is helps folks learn better vocabulary. And it was created by this guy named John Breen, a computer programmer, for his sons studying for the SAT. He also runs poverty.com. And so you go and you play this thing at freerice.com and, you know, try to increase your vocabulary. And every time you get one right, 20 grains of rice goes in a bowl. And literally 20 grains of rice goes to the UN World Food Program. And you can actually...
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a win-win.
And they do it through advertising on the site and everything like that. And so here's John Breen actually talking about the difficulty of the game, because there's a scale of 1 to 50. And he never gets over a certain amount.
So I myself can't get much above level 45, and it's very rare that people get above level 48. But there are some people who just cruise right up to level 50. So for them, we're going to add some super, really ultra-tough words.
So quick question about your son. How did he do on his SATs?
He hasn't taken them yet.
But his vocabulary is getting better?
His vocabulary has improved markedly. And so is his younger brother's.
Breen says he's been getting emails from all over the world, from people trying to learn English to teachers and college students, and he's hoping they take away something more than just a few new words.
I haven't gotten above 35, by the way.
That's good, though.
It's a hard...
35
it's
is
hard.
Good.
Yeah, you should go and check it out. Freerice.com, and we'll link to it on the blog.
Was there one word that you learned that you cemented?
Yes, but I immediately forgot it.
All right, that does it for the most. Thanks, everybody. You can find these stories and other BPP ditties on our website, npr.org/Brian Park.